morning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We want to look today at the verse 13. It reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." With our Bibles open, that verse, let's just take a moment to pray and ask the Lord's help as we look into His Word. Our Father and our God in heaven, we're thankful that we can come before Thee this day. We're thankful for Your goodness to us. We would say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. We're thankful for the outpouring of Your grace and Your love. Lord, we are so undeserving of the least of all the blessings that we receive from Thy hand. And yet Your bountiful care is so great. We are so blessed. And we pray, Lord, that we would use what we have to be a blessing to others. That we would, by our gifts, by our talents, even by these tithes that have been brought in, that we would be using these things as good stewards of the kingdom, using them for the glory and honor of Jesus Christ, for the extension of His kingdom. We pray for the extension of the kingdom of Christ, the building of the church. We ask, Lord, that You would move in our midst, continue to work in us, continue to direct our thoughts, direct our hearts and our minds, that we would be stayed upon Thee and able to overcome in times of trial. We would know what it is to draw near to Christ and to abide in Him. And Lord, that we would know what it is to be upheld by Thee in Thy hand. Hold our hand now, Lord, we pray. Walk with us as we walk through the Word. We pray that You would take the Word of God and write it upon our hearts. Minister to those who have great needs. Each and every one of us face different situations on a daily basis, and we need to be guided by Thy hand. Lead us in the path of righteousness. We think of Mrs. Wright today in the family circle. We pray that Your presence would be with them, that You would help them in their time of grief. Lord, that they would know the presence of Christ, just ministering to their souls, granting them peace and joy in the gospel. We pray that You would draw near unto them. So help us now, Lord, help me as it would take up Your word. I pray that it would be a word in season to the thirsty soul. Lord, that You would create in us that hunger after righteousness, a hunger for Your word. Lord, that we would feast upon Your word this day and be so satisfied in Thee. So hear our prayer. Continue to be with us now. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to think today of the subject of consolation in a time of trial. Oftentimes, in an hour of trial, we tend to think that our situation is unique, that we are the only one to ever go through that circumstance or that problem. No one has ever had to face such a situation as this ever before. At least that's our tendency. That's our thinking. My problems are unique. But that is not true. As we have read here this morning, there are no cases that are unique. Your situation is not unique. And yet many people use that excuse as a reason to shirk their responsibilities. My situation is so difficult. My situation is so hard. And many excuse the wrong that they do on account of their difficult circumstances. But as we read here in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, that there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. No case is unique. Your situation is not unique. And yet, As I tell the students, sometimes we have this tendency to have the Eeyore mentality. Eeyore, poor me, self-pity, oh well. And we're filled with self-pity, we're anxious, and we are troubled. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And yet, as we read here in the Word of God, there is no trial that has overtaken you but such as is common to man. Trials are common to man. Trials are common to man. In fact, the Word says we are born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. We read also, in the world we shall have tribulation. We read in another place that we are not to count it a strange thing when we find ourselves going through trials and tribulations. Trials are common to man. Now, Paul here, writing to the Corinthians, he says in verse 11, speaking of Israel in the days of Moses, he said, all these things happened unto them. Now, all these things happened unto them for in samples, for an example to us. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So Paul here, writing to Gentiles in his day, is using the history of Israel. The Israelites in the days of Moses, that's what he's speaking about. All the things that happened to the Jews, to the Israelites in Moses' day. But these things stand as an example to us. And Paul is speaking to Gentiles in Corinth in his day. And by extension, they are also words applicable to us in our day, in these, the last days, upon whom the ends of the world have come. In these, the last days, we have words of instruction here for us as we go through life and as we face the many struggles and trials and problems of daily life. These things happened to the Jews, but they serve as an example to us, to Gentiles in Paul's day, and by extension to us in our day. So he's saying, really, all men in all times, every generation, face the same basic problems. We all have trials and tribulation. These things are written for our learning. They're instructive words to us living in these, the last days. And what he points out here is the fact that man has not changed. Human nature has not changed. Yes, there are differences, cultural differences, language barriers, different settings. We're in different places at different times, but despite the cultural barriers, the language barriers, the problems of location, man's needs remain the same through the ages. The same basic questions and problems the Jews faced in Moses' day were the same basic problems they were facing in Corinth, and they are the same basic questions and problems that we have in this day. Our needs are much the same. So this is a word that applies to us. Now, when we think about our problems and our circumstances, yes, the details of your problem may not be exactly alike another person's. The features or the characteristics, the details of that problem may be different. But we have the same basic needs. We face the same problems to varying degrees, perhaps, but we all have problems. We all have issues. Let's be honest. We all have troubles and trials. Human nature is the same. So that's what he's telling us there in verse 11. The same basic problems of life. What are our needs? The needs for the simple things. When you boil life down in its simplicity, food, clothing, shelter, companionship, joy, satisfaction, contentment, the purpose of life. These are the things that we need. Joy and satisfaction. And beneath the sophisticated exterior and the things that we gather to ourselves, beneath all that, when you push all the exterior things away and the non-essential things, our needs are basically the same. They are simple needs. The human nature is the same, but he also says the nature of sin has not changed. At the root of sin is pride, self-serving, self-seeking, self-reliance. Look what he says in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There's a warning there against pride. And in the previous verses that we read earlier, he was talking about inordinate desires. He was talking about discontent. He talks about idolatry, seeking after idols. He talks about self-indulgence, fornication. He talks about jealousy and murmuring. These things are still so typical of humanity today. Human nature has not changed, our needs have not changed, but sin has not changed. And at the root of sin is pride. And he says, these are the things, if you read through those opening verses again, these are the things that characterize humanity from which we need deliverance. There is still in us the natural tendency to be lifted up in pride. And so he's warning about sinful pride and self-reliance. Take heed. Take heed. Let him that thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. To think that we can stand. This is the thought process of man today. He thinks he can stand on his own two feet. He doesn't need God. He's filled with his own self-importance, with his own pride. And to think we can stand on our own without God, Paul says it's utter folly. Beware of pride. Pride comes before a fall. So be on your guard. Our needs are the same. The nature of sin has not changed. But with this word of caution also comes a word of comfort. A word I want us to consider today. Yes, our needs may be basically the same. Sin nature is the same. Sin has not changed. But there's something else he says here. God has not changed. God is faithful. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God is faithful. God is true. He forever remains the same. Constant, faithful to his nature, faithful to his word, faithful to his people. And sinful men who disobey the law of God, who follow after these things that are mentioned here, break the law of God, still find God is true to his word. There is forgiveness with him. God's message of forgiveness is the same. There's only one way of salvation. The only answer to the problems of life is in Christ. God is faithful. He's faithful in showing mercy to us. He's a God of compassion who is long-suffering. But God has not changed. That's a wonderful comfort to the children of God today. His commands have not changed. His word is forever settled in heaven. His word is sure. He never fails. Not one word will fall to the ground. He keeps his promises. His grace is sufficient. And so there are no excuses. Though we try to shirk our responsibilities and blame our difficult situation and our bad behavior on our difficult circumstances, we can't do that. There's no excuse for wrongdoing, for sin. Trials are common to man. Temptation is common to man. But there is a way of escape. There is a way of deliverance. We cannot evade our responsibility just because things are tough, just because times are hard, or because the society in which we live is so wicked and sinful. We still have a responsibility to obey God and to follow him, to be faithful because God is faithful to us. There are no excuses for disobedience, for wrongdoing when we face trials and temptations. We are called to walk worthy of the Lord in every situation. There's a comforting truth here. It says, He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape. John Owen said, Temptation never entangles you to such a degree that no way of escape remains or presents itself. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. And He will guide us with His eye. We have a responsibility to be faithful to our faithful God. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ in the day of temptation. We read of that temptation in Matthew chapter 4. The Lord Jesus did not take the easier path in the face of temptation. But rather, when facing temptation, He found His strength, where? In the Word of God. And that's where we are to find our strength, in the Word of God. In the day of temptation, Christ never acted on His own. He never acted independent of the Father's will. He did always those things that pleased the Father. He didn't allow Himself to be diverted from the course of fulfilling all righteousness. He followed after that path. And beloved, nor can we allow ourselves in the hour of temptation to be diverted from the path by following Satan's devices, by being deceived by his allurements and temptations to sin. We are to strengthen our hearts in the Word of God and act in accord with His will. And the great encouragement here, the consolation in our time of trial or temptation is this. See your trials as an opportunity to prove the faithfulness of God. Prove the Lord. See your trials as an opportunity to prove His Word. God is faithful to His Word. That's the key to solving the problems of life God's way. Prove His Word. Let the Word of God be your guide, be your map. Follow after righteousness. But what's the consolation in these times of trial? Trials are common to man, but God is faithful to His people. Our needs have not changed. Sin is the same, but God is the same. He's faithful in showing mercy. He is plenteous in mercy. And He will help us in the hour of trouble. And there's great consolation in this fact that others have gone through similar experiences. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. We all go through different trials at different times. Trials are common to man. And when you know of someone who has gone through a similar trial to which you are going through at the present, that is a help to you. That's an encouragement to you. The situation looks bleak. You have no answers in yourself. You don't know the way ahead. But someone comes alongside you and says, well, you know, I found myself in a similar situation. And this is how the Lord helped me. That's a great encouragement to you. There is hope when you hear of others going through the same thing. You're comforted. That's a consolation to you. Perhaps the doctor comes into his office and sets you down there and he has news for you. You're going to have surgery. You need to have surgery. He might try to soften the blow and say, well, it's just minor surgery. And he says that to set you at ease. And the doctor's telling you, you need to have an operation. And to you, it doesn't matter if it's minor surgery or major surgery, it's a daunting prospect, and fear enters your heart. You've never been this way before. Maybe you go home and you tell your loved one, you tell your spouse, the doctor says, I need an operation. What am I to do? I'm concerned about this. And maybe she'll turn to you and say, well, you know, Uncle Jack had that surgery 10 years ago. He came through it fine. It wasn't a big deal. No ill effects, and he's doing well. He's doing very well, in fact. It really helped him. You'll be okay. And it kind of sets you at ease. And then the next day, you go into work, and you talk to your boss or your colleague there, and they say to you, well, you know, I had that exact same surgery. It was just a routine surgery. It's a common thing. They do it all the time. You'll be fine. Set your heart at ease. It helps you. It encourages you. And it lessens your fear and apprehension to know that others have gone through the same thing and they have come through it and they are doing very well. That's an encouragement to you. Friend, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what you're going through because he has gone through the same thing. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And Christ, as our forerunner, he has gone before. He has prepared the way. And he knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be tried. He was, in fact, in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows. We read in Hebrews 4:15, we have a great high priest over the house of God who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the things of our weakness, and he knows. He was in all points tempted like as we are. Yet he was able to come through that in a God-honoring way without sin, without giving in to temptation, without murmuring against the Father's will, without turning away. And so it says in Hebrews 2 and the verse 18, in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able then to succor or to aid, to come alongside and to help you in your hour of need, to help them that are tempted. He himself has suffered being tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted, to help them in their hour of need. And he draws near to you. He says, I've been there. I've gone before. I've faced those issues. And I'll be with you. I will help you. You know, it's a great consolation, a comfort to you when you know others have gone through the same thing that sets you at ease. But when Christ comes alongside and ministers to your heart and ministers to your needs, it's a great, great comfort. Friend, today, I don't know what you're going through, what degree of trial you're facing, what your problem may be, but be encouraged. Christ knows what you are going through. He faced the same things, and he's able to bring you through the refining fires of affliction and make you shine for him as pure gold. So the comfort in our trial is others have gone through it before. Another consolation is we are not alone in the trial, because we have this one who is our great high priest. He is our sympathizing Savior who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And as it says there in Hebrews 2 and Hebrews 4, he comes alongside to aid us in the time of trouble. He gives grace to help in the time of need. And so there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. Now that may mean either he will deliver you completely out of the trial, take the problem away, but not necessarily so. He may do that in grace and in wisdom. Either he will deliver you out of the trial completely, or, on the other hand, he will give you the necessary grace to go through it, to bear it, as he did with the Apostle Paul. Remember Paul in his bodily affliction, crying to the Lord? 3 times he prayed to the Lord, remove this thorn in the flesh. And yet the Lord said, I'm not going to do that. He responded in this way, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so the Lord will give you grace. His grace is sufficient. His strength is made perfect in weakness. And so Matthew Henry said, either our trials will be proportioned to our strength, or strength will be supplied in proportion to our trial and our temptation. Either our trials will be proportioned to our strength, or strength will be supplied in proportion to our trial. The Lord may take it away, he may deliver you completely, or he will give you the grace that is necessary to go through it. But yet, through it all, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you can boldly say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. He will help you. You're not alone. Others have gone through it, but you are not alone. Christ is with you. And the wonderful truth of Philippians 4:13 is this. You can do it. You can't say, I can't. You can say, I can do all things through Christ. Through Christ. Not in my own strength. I don't have the wisdom in myself to solve this issue. But I can do it through Christ who strengthens me. The one who infuses strength into me. He gives me the necessary help. He will give you grace and strength, this grace and strength that you need to get through this time. He knows how to rescue and deliver us. He knows how to deliver the godly in the day of temptation. He gives grace, special grace, in the time of need. And he makes a way where there appears to be no way, no answer. And he changes the course of our life. He makes a way of escape. Salvation. Deliverance. Giving grace in the time of need. God granting special help in the time of great need. And the sufficiency of his grace becomes evident in our preservation. He keeps us. And he brings us through the waters. And through the fire. And through the flame. It will not overflow you. It will not be burned. You will be brought through those things. He will be with you. He keeps us. It's an evidence of his sufficient grace. Think again of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you turn over to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and the verse 2. Well-known words, we're encouraged to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the forerunner, the one who has gone before. He's the finisher, the one that brings us through. And it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Christ Jesus endured the cross for us. Will he not preserve those for whom he died? Will he not bring us through? You know, we are to view our trials as an opportunity to prove the faithfulness of God. We are to view our trials as an opportunity to prove the word of God. God is true. God is faithful to his word and to his nature. But I want you to see also that the Lord Jesus Christ viewed his trials as an opportunity to glorify God. To glorify God. Do we view our trials in that way? As the Lord presenting to us an opportunity in our weakness to magnify his strength, to bring glory and honor to his name. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Joy? You think of the life of Christ, the hardship, the hunger, the temptation in the wilderness, the lonely hours of solitude, the mocking crowd. He didn't have a place to lay his head. The cruel mistreatment by men, the betrayal by a dear friend, the denial of Peter, the beating, the scourging, ending in excruciating pain, the pain and the death of the cross, who for the joy that was set before him endured. That's not joyful, that's painful. But Christ could see beyond that. He could see the reward that followed. He could see the great blessing that would come as a result of his obedience. He wasn't going to shirk his responsibilities. He was going to fulfill all righteousness, fulfill the Father's will. And he gave himself, was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That was not joyful, but painful, not pleasant, but grievous. Yet he endured the cross for the joy set before him. The joy of seeing many sons brought in. The great harvest, the fruit of his labors, Isaiah 53:12. Many justified, many made righteous. The Lord God satisfied the reward of his faithfulness, that he might bring many to glory. Christ could see the grand outcome of his obedience, the salvation of precious souls. May we not only see our trials as an opportunity to prove the faithfulness of God, to prove his word, but as an opportunity to bring glory and honor to God, so that others are drawn to Christ, his glory magnified in our weakness. Let me quote in closing Matthew Henry. As we consider this verse, Matthew Henry said, "There is no valley so dark, but he can find a way through it. No affliction so grievous, but he can prevent or remove or enable us to support it and in the end overrule it to our advantage." Friend, today I don't know what your situation may be, how great your trial, how perplexed you may be, but there's no reason to despair. There is no valley so dark that God, Christ, cannot bring you through it. He is faithful and true. He can provide that way of escape, that way of deliverance. Trust him today. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father and dear God in heaven, we're thankful for the instruction of your word. We know that trials are the common lot of all men. Lord, help us to bear up under those trials. When we are overwhelmed, may we look to the rock that is higher than ourselves. Look away to the author and finisher. Look away from our circumstances, and look to Jesus. Consider him who endured so much for us. Let us endure, persevere to the end, faithful, leaning on the beloved. Help us day by day, Lord, to trust in thee, not to lean upon our own understanding, but to take our direction from Christ our head and follow faithfully in obedience. Help those who are struggling. We pray again for those who are grieving. We ask, Lord, that you would draw near and be the portion of your people this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.